the feeling and depth that you have for the experiences that they're having, so that you can meet the needs of the readers of that particular publication. So it's kind of an ongoing process, and I just encourage writers to spend some time with their market guide and get a feel for what the different publications are about, because it's really a matter of matching up to the right spot for the particular piece that they might have.
Yeah, it's not something you learn overnight. That's for sure here. Now, what you know, Larry has a good question here. What are some of the easiest publications for novice writers to get published in?
I think, of course, devotionals are a good way to start. There's a section in the market guide on devotionals. Those are short, about 250 words for the most part. They're short pieces and fairly easy to do, and they use a lot of them since they're usually daily. The publications have to have a lot of them. Another good place is Sunday school take-home papers. There are take-home papers for all ages, from nursery school through senior adults, and those are tend to be shorter pieces, probably 800 to 1,000 words, sometimes even shorter than that. So they're fairly easy to do. They're on a broad number of topics. I mean, it can be almost any sort of Christian-related topic, anything that you think people are interested in, or things you struggle with, or things you can identify with. And they don't pay a lot, but most of them do pay, and they're looking for a lot of material because they tend to be weekly, so they have weekly papers, so they need a lot of material. And I've had editors from Sunday school take-home papers contact me and said, I'm desperate for writers because they're just not getting enough material to fit. And a lot of times it's the length, because they are shorter. People are sending them longer pieces that just don't fit. So that's why it's important to see the market guide or their guidelines as to what their length requirements are, because those tend to be pretty strict. I mean, they just have so much room. So,
well, boy, that's what we like to hear. That's what we like to hear as writers, that they're desperate for us. I think that sounds good. You know, I like to hear that kind of stuff. That's good. But isn't it typical that most people, when they start, they think they're going to do a 100,000 word novel or a 50,000 word nonfiction book or something? When here, what you and I have just been talking about are these shorter 500-word, you know, 300-word devotionals or whatever, and those can really have huge impact. I know this last year I had a devotion published in the Upper Room that went out to millions of people, and it's just amazing what can happen from something like that.
Yeah, it really is. Those devotionals do tend to have a very wide distribution, and so if you have a message on your heart that you want to get out there, that's probably the best way to go.
Yeah, and it's so overlooked. It's just talk to people a little bit, Sally, about what happens if you do get published in magazines. That's more than just experience, right? It helps you get to the book thing that you want to do, right?
Yeah, I think I always encourage writers to start with writing for publications, even though they have a book that they want to do. It helps you learn a lot about the industry, for one thing. It helps you to learn to write to the specified length that they want. It helps you learn to meet deadlines, which is important. You can use all those magazine sales are, you know, can go on your resume, your list of credits. And these days, because editors have to be more selective, they tend to look for writers who are have that track record, where they've been out there, and particularly if you're getting published on the topic of your book, it helps so that you can begin to create a reputation for someone who does writes about a certain topic or does a certain type of material, and all that's very helpful when you go to write a book, as well as just the experience of writing and learning how to put the words on paper and how to format dialogue and all those things that we tend not to know unless we are writers. So it's a sort of a learning curve, I think, that leads to that book. But I never encourage people to start with a book.
Yeah, no, that makes that makes really sound sense to me. And, you know, getting to a solid conference like you were talking about, so that you're able to meet those people, it's who you know as much as what you know, oftentimes, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? And, you know, we've really got great questions here from people, and so I want to dig into some of those. You know, people always want to know what, like Luann asked, who are the best Christian publishers and agents? How do you figure out what that is?
Well, I think people are always coming to me with, you know, say I have a book, you know, who are the top five or publishers I should send it to? Well, it all comes down to using those topical lists and finding the publishers that are appropriate for your material. And with, 500 publishers, 400 to 500 book publishers listed in the market guide, it's pretty hard to, you know, say these five are the best for everybody. So it's a matter of finding out. What you can do is at the end of the book publishers section in the guide, it will tell you which publishers are putting out the most books. And so those will tend to be, we would at least assume, would be some of the most successful publishers. Another place in the guide, and that's in that same section, I list which publishers have gotten the most books on the bestseller list in the past year. And so that kind of, and it's broken down by category. So the, you know, the best fiction or the best Christian living or children's books or so forth. And that's not a, you know, cut and dried guide, but at least it kind of gives you an idea who's publishing the best books. So, you know, that would be a guide for you as well.
Yeah, no, those are probably some overlooked pages in your marketing guide, and I'm sure you put a lot of research into compiling that information every year so that it's in there for people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of all different kinds of questions here. So let's talk about you know, agents for a minute here. You didn't used to have many agents in the Christian market, did you?
No. In fact, when I started there, I don't think there was such a thing as a Christian agent. The publishers were not, they were pretty leery of anybody who said they were agents, that even back when the agents started this sort of slow movement into Christian publishing, publishers tended to be a little bit leery about who they were and whether they were going to get in the way of the relationship between the publisher and the author. But over the years now, it's as Christian publishing has become more sophisticated, I think it's the need for agents has increased as we've had more and more, you know, very successful authors that are getting their books on the New York Times bestseller list and that sort of thing. But people tend to think that every publisher demands an agent, but typically a beginning author or a first-time book writer will have a difficult time finding an agent that wants to take them on. Even though we do have Christian agents, and I don't know, the market guide lists about, let me see, I had it written down here. Well, there are about 80 literary agents listed in the current edition.
Oh, wow.
But I've had as many as 120. And it's a matter of some agents not being successful enough to stay in business with it. And some that, because they have so many clients already, they can't take on any more. So one of the problems with agents now is that there simply are not enough of them to meet the needs of all the Christian authors who are looking for agents. So it's kind of a difficult situation. And so the agents will tend to look for authors who have that track record, have, you know, written other books or have some really good credits in there for their article writing.
But like you were saying, do many of the Christian publishers out there require that you have an agent to get
no.
their attention?
I think there are about, I counted this year, I think there are about 12 or so that, there may be a few more added to that list since I, you know, finished the market guide. But One of the things that people will notice in, I think, the last couple of issues in the market guide, if they haven't seen it or if they have seen it, is that in the topical listings, at right under the topic name, there will be a section of publications listed that have an A, the small letter A in front of them, and that means those are publications that require an agent. And so, and then all the rest underneath that, and there's usually not more than half a dozen or so under each topic, sometimes less than that, sometimes a few more. But the rest of them are all open to submissions directly from the author.
Wow, that's great. Now let's talk for a minute here before we get too far about the Christian Writers Market Guide. If you're listening to this recording on the webcast, you'll see that there's a button there that says Christian Writers Market Guide that'll take you right to Sally's site. And Sally, you have a how do you explain your arrangement where that if you can lock in your price? How do you explain that whole part of it?
Okay, well, we have a sort of an automatic subscription system where if you want to sign up to get it automatically every year as soon as it comes out, then you can freeze the price at the current level no matter how much the price goes up in the future. And so there's a place on the website to sign up for that, and you can ask for the current edition, but also to be signed up for getting the future editions of that. And the book just comes out the first of the year with an invoice, and you have 30 days to pay it. And as I said, the price is frozen at whatever level it happens to be at the time you sign up. So I have people signed up from anywhere from $16.95 to $24.99. So
wow.
Those that signed up early were very happy that they did that.
I'm sure.
But that we have, I have a good number of a lot of authors who do that. In fact, we got about 1,500 individual orders out just in the last couple of weeks. So,
wow, that's great. Now you have so they can lock in on the price,
mm-hmm.
And don't you have a system somewhere or another where there's openings for the older price? How does that work? I forget. Or not.
Well, we have. You can buy last year's edition at a reduced price.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
of.
On the website
just,
as well.
I don't want to put you on the spot here. I'm just trying
okay.
to think of what the rules are. I can't even remember. You know. So.
Well, sometimes I don't remember either, so we could be in trouble.
We're in real trouble here. Now, what about the? There was a change with when you changed publishers here in the last couple of years and went to Tyndale. And what's happening with the if say somebody wants the disc part of the market guide?
Okay, when Tyndale took it over, it was their decision that they didn't want to continue. We provided a CD that came in the book with a previous publisher, and Tyndale House decided that they didn't want to do that, but they did make it okay for me to offer those or provide those. And this year, actually, we have gone from providing the CD to the automatic customers. At least last year, the automatic customers got them, just came with the book. But this year, just as technology moves along, we're trying to move along with it. So this year, instead of the CD, we're offering a free download of the market guide plus a section of about 2,200 Christian resources for writers that they can just, once they buy the book, and they can go and download the market guide and those resources.
So do they pay extra for that download, or how does that work?
No. If they're an automatic customer, they get it free. If others want to, they pay an additional. They have to buy the market guide and then the book, and then they pay an extra $6 for the download.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I have found that download to be incredibly valuable. If you're, let's say you're going to write to a publication or whatever, you can just cut and paste the name rather than typing it in. I don't know. Maybe I'm lazy here, but.
I think that's the way that a lot of people use it.
And it's a great resource here. So, if you don't have the Christian Writers Market Guide, let's talk about the amount of changes from year to year. I know that's an issue, and even though I haven't been with Howard Books for, what,